This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 22nd at 10:20 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like we in the media will stop reporting that Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel is still thinking about running for governor and just report when he decides. But, you know, what else are we going to talk about? Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who keep us all guessing and speculating as to their future plans. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, some National Institutes of Health research get support in Washington. But first, things did change shortly after we recorded last week's podcast. We saw a major shakeup in the Republican race for governor. Attorney General Dave Yost dropped out. Yost said his steep climb to the nomination had become a vertical cliff, and he said now is not the time for a family squabble. So for now, Vivek Ramaswamy's path to the Republican nomination for governor looks clear. Yost had trailed Ramaswamy badly in the few public polls released this spring. Earlier this month, state Republican leaders overwhelmingly endorsed Ramaswamy over Yost. And that leaves only long-shot candidate Heather Hill and the possibility of Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel running for governor standing in Ramaswamy's way. And this week, Tressel says he is still considering running for governor. To break down this news, we turn to a panel of State House insiders, longtime political observers, former prosecutor Mike Miller, Common Cause Ohio's Sam Gresham, as well as State House reporters Jake Zuckerman of Signal Statewide and Laura Bischoff of the USA Today Ohio Bureau. Laura Bischoff, this is just a sign of the Ohio Republican Party where if you wait your turn, take the long path to higher office, it doesn't work out that way anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Yost is definitely, his career has been the traditional path, 11 years in statewide office as auditor and attorney general, plus his time as county prosecutor. He used all those building blocks to move toward running for governor. And then, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy comes in, and he's going the new traditional path, which is never hold a public office.
Come out of nowhere
and just have a big pile of money in your bank account.
Yeah. And no Donald Trump.
Jake, it's still early. We're a year out from the primary, year and a half from the general election. Why not wait a little longer?
The writing must be on the wall. I mean, he must have information. And plus, you know, every time you call a donor and you say, I want you to support my campaign and give me money, they're going to say, well, are you actually going to win this thing? And the more data that can stack up against that fact, the harder that check gets to write.
Mike, would a family squabble be bad for the Republican Party? Would it hurt them in a general election? Or could a family squabble be good in a way?
Oh, I don't think it would be particularly bad. I don't think it would be good either. It's probably, you know, a push and shove breakout. I'm a little surprised at Yost doing it this early. I mean, a year and a half is a long time. And as volatile as he can be, who knows whether Trump's going to have the support in Ohio a year from now as he does now. If the election were today or next week or next month, I would agree with him. But I would have waited a little longer if I were him.
He was pretty honest in his statement, Sam. He basically said, I can't win right now. So to keep fighting is just pointless.
I don't agree with Mike, though. It's like a lifetime between now and November of the election. So I wouldn't have gotten out. I know David, and I know that was a hard decision for him. He's always wanted to be governor. Ever since I've known him, since the Moody administration, Tom Moody, mayor, city of Columbus. So I know that was a hard decision for him and his family. But I think he may have made a mistake. Ramaswamy, and I have a difficulty with his name, between now and then could trip over the world and destroy himself because he's that type of candidate.
But he's also a very dynamic candidate, Laura. I mean, he's terrific on the stump, and it's that new generation. It seems to be exciting the Republican Party in this state. Ramaswamy is.
He's very confident, and he's very he's everywhere. I mean, he's like the Roy Kent of Ohio GOP politics. He's everywhere. He's going to all these county chicken dinners and, you know, the keynote speaker here, keynote speaker there. But I think Sam's right. I think he's a little bit of a wild card, and he could stumble. And if he does so, I think Jim Trussell might have a chance to just kind of pounce in there.
Mike, if you do the math, in the last poll, Yost was at like 14%, Trussell was at like 14%. Well, that's close to 30. That gap shrinks a little bit if all of Yost's folks go to Trussell. So,
well, 30% is still 70% short of 100.
Yes, it is.
I mean, assuming if the other candidate's got 70%, that doesn't make a heck of a lot of difference.
Yeah. Do you think he has a deal, Jake? Any word that, because I know that there's been rumors that Yost was up for other appointments from the Trump administration, or there was a report that he was offered an ambassadorship in Cyprus. Do you think would he ever consider a lieutenant governor with Ramaswamy? Or is he beyond that?
I don't know. The thing that really stuck out to me about his statement at the end, he said something to the effect of, "I'm just not that important." I read that as a pretty resigned statement. I mean, we talked about the ladder he tried to climb, and this was supposed to be the pinnacle of the career, and he must see it slipping through him. And when have you ever heard a politician say, "I am not that important"?
Well, I think he was saying that his ego was not that important, considering the service of being governor. And and he also, Laura mentioned that having Sherrod Brown back in office. That's what Yost talked about.
Right. He wants party unity so that the Republicans can continue their control of government and their policies, et cetera.
Speaking of Democrats, Tim Ryan told Ohio Public Television this week that he will make a decision by the summer, or sometimes this summer, whether or not to run for governor. Sam Gresham, what do you think of that? He said at first he wasn't interested in the job, then he said he was considering it, now he's going to make a decision this summer. Tim Ryan for governor.
That'd be a heck of a race, you know, that between those two. Wrong man, wrong time. Great person, like him as an individual, wrong person. I think we're looking at the wrong end of the spectrum. We constantly look at candidates. I think we about to spend more time looking at the voters and what the voters are concerned with. Democrats always come up with the excuse, messaging. No. You got the wrong message, but you're saying it the wrong way. This electorate, and as the generations come on, is vastly different than my father's electorate, and vastly different than mine.
Amy Acton is running for governor. She's right now the only declared Democrat. Jake, would she run against Tim Ryan? Would they run against each other, do you think?
I don't know. It's hard to predict the future, but what I can say is Tim Ryan feels like more of the past. You know, he's a very insider. He's spent a lot of decades, years in Congress, and he's one of these guys like your Joe Manchin, Sherrod Brown, John Tester, I'm a Democrat, I can win in a red state, and it feels like an era that has passed, and they keep losing. So it's not clear to me why the Democrats think next time will be better with these same people.
Well, Mike, he would be a contrast to Ramaswamy, a very wealthy man. Tim Ryan has his working class roots from the Youngstown area. That would be how he would run his campaign.
Well, of course, he's run statewide before, and he's relatively young. I think 52, something like
51.
That. 51.
Yeah.
So he's been in politics his whole life. He's obviously bright. I thought he ran a good campaign last time against the vice president. He happened to lose it, but I thought he ran a very good campaign. I think he's probably taking his time to see what Sherrod Brown's going to do. I don't know whether Sherrod's going to run for Senate, for governor, or anything.
Yeah.
But I think the last thing in the world Ryan would want to do is get in a primary with Sherrod Brown for the Democrat nomination.
Lord,
so I think he'll sit for a while.
Lord, do you think this is kind of like to Sherrod Brown a little signal? Hey, look, I'm going to try to make a decision this summer. Can you make it before him, please?
I think that there's a break in the Ohio Democratic Party because Tim Ryan is backing Bill DeMora for chair, and Sherrod Brown is backing Kathleen Clyde. Hmm. And I think that there's two camps, and they're kind of fighting over really what's crumbs. The Ohio Democrats don't hold. I mean, Jennifer Bruner is the only statewide Democratic candidate or office holder entirely. So they're fighting over, the little bit that they do have. And I think there's a divide there.
That was USA Today Ohio Bureau's Laura Bischoff, along with Signal Statewide's Jake Zuckerman, former prosecutor Mike Miller, and Common Cause Ohio's Sam Gresham. We'll be right back.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past half fortnight. We've heard stories about DOGE and the Trump administration, how they've targeted the National Institutes of Health. A Senate committee minority report says the Trump administration has cut $2.7 billion in NIH research funding through March. So calls for increased NIH funding are noteworthy. This week, Republican Congressman Warren Davidson of southwestern Ohio co-sponsored a bill calling for the NIH to study Trump Derangement Syndrome. The Trump Derangement Syndrome Act of 2025 would research the negative and often violent reaction to any supportive statement or event related to President Trump. The TDS, see, it already has an acronym. The TDS Research Act would investigate TDS's origins and contributing factors, including the media's role in amplifying the spread of TDS. It's contagious, perhaps. You know, what if the research says Trump is responsible for this syndrome? Sometimes when you ask for a research study, you may not like the results. But anyway, for trying to link political dissent to a form of mental illness, Congressman Warren Davidson gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.